You're listening to KRUULP 100.1 FM, Fairfield, Iowa.
This is Icon Art Radio on KRUU 100.1 FM, Fairfield, Iowa. And I'm here with Alan Cobb, my co-host, and Bill Teeple. And our guest today is John Stimson, who's curating a special event for Icon. And this would be September 10th, 2011. So if this is, if you're hearing this show repeated sometime in the future, this is an event, September 10th, 2011.
I should point out, though, that if you go to the gallery on October 12th, 2015, there will be faint impressions of this event still lingering in the ether.
I'm sure. So shall we tell them what the event is?
Yeah, why don't we do that?
It's Looney Toony Saturday, a whole day of cartoons and reminiscences and discussions and some history of cartoon animation. And John is the man that's organizing this. Tell us a little bit about what we've got in store for us.
Okay, this is an extension of just my natural life where I will get together with friends on a Saturday morning and we'll sit around and have way too much coffee and bowls of cereal and watch the classic cartoons, the Looney Tunes, the Tex Avery, the Betty Boop, Popeye, whatever. But it gets really trippy, especially if you've had just a little bit too much coffee, because it brings us back to our childlike state.
Yeah.
But with the added experience of our 50 plus years to give it some depth. So we sit around and are amazed not only that these animations have held up so well, but also that the original creative impulse that came to these animators was a very profound kind of imagination and a flight from reality.
Yeah.
And the fact that they could create something that wild, that has become part of our culture, is something to be celebrated.
Yeah. I whenever I think of the Saturday morning cartoons, you know, there were the ones that had high production values, and then there were the ones that were just filler. And the Farmer Gray ones were the ultimate filler. And they were just sequences spliced together in different segments spliced together. And as a kid, I would watch them, and I would, and it would just destroy my sense of you know, reality, because they made no sense at all. There was no effort of any kind to have continuity that told a story. It was just mice chasing the farmer, and then the farmer chasing the mice, and then they're all doing a big S curve down Main Street with the buildings going by, and then the farmer's chasing the mice again, and then the mice are chasing the farmer again, and then they're all jumping out of a milk pail for a few minutes, and then they're all running down Main Street again.
Right.
And it struck me as insanity. It read also, as a kid, as like the things that I saw during nightmares when I had a fever.
But also, doesn't it kind of reek of a kind of condescending attitude towards children?
Oh, yeah.
Where you just want to keep things moving and you want to fill up the time with as much
that's right.
inanity as possible.
Yeah.
Whereas the classic cartoons that had a high production value, you can watch them 20 times, and every time you'll see something that you never saw before in there. There are layers and layers of throwaway stuff in there.
Well, you'll find that some of these cartoonists, like the Betty Boop cartoonist, Max Fleischer, that group of people, there were layers of coded messages and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And they were very complex, and they were both geared towards adults in many ways, intellectual and sensual. And then the kids delight in them, even to this day.
And any adult who thinks that the kids are not wise to some of the subterranean messages, I remember very clearly cluing in and thinking, whoa, There's stuff going on here that
it's naughty.
It's gnarly, and it sneaks by under the guise of being merely a cartoon. But it's a way, culturally, of tapping into something that nowhere, you could not go anywhere near that if it were anything but merely a cartoon. So we want to get together in the afternoon to talk.
So the morning, we're going to have, let's go through the program here.
So
we're going to have a morning of cartoon craziness with cereal and milk.
And your coffee, people are encouraged to wear pajamas, bring a blanket and a pillow, and we're going to be sitting on the floor. And I'm hoping to have a couple of different, or two or three different TV sets available in different parts of the gallery, so that if a particular cartoon that is showing is not to your taste, then you can go to another station. Also, the fact that we have several different media with which to work. There are some that I only have on VHS, and some are on DVD. And then I'm hoping also, I'm going to try to scrape together the technology to show some actual film, some 16 millimeter and 8 millimeter film movies that I have.
I'm going to have to get my camera
clicking and whirring and blowing.
I'm going to have to document the whole event, mm-hmm. it looks like.
Sure. So we will have a supply bowls of the classic bad for you cereals, but also just, you know, to make sure that nobody faints away from the toxic contents. We will have some healthful cereals and radiant dairy milk, and there will be flowing pots of coffee, so that the experience will be guaranteed to have at least a lot of giggling and giddy laughter.
So the morning is revisiting our childhood. What about the afternoon?
And that would be from 9 a.m. through about 11:30 or so.
So it's a Saturday morning cartoons.
Saturday morning cartoons.
9 to 11 at Icon Gallery.
What's 9 to 11:30.
9 to 11:30. And what's the date again?
September 10th.
September 10th. Okay.
Right. Good.
Coming soon.
And that's at the main Icon Gallery.
All 58 the North Main Street 58? In Fairfield, Iowa.
Right. Good. then around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we want to get together and have an open forum and panel discussion. I'm hoping, Alan, that you will be able to participate.
I hope I will.
Okay. And have a few other friends who are enthusiasts of what we would call the golden age of animation, which goes from the 1920s through the middle 1950s. Mm-hmm. And just want to bring up the subjects of various cartoon characters and the producers of these cartoons, the animators, the whole kind of, it's a demi-world of not only animators, but also the world that the cartoon characters lived in, and their occasional interactions on film with human characters. Mm-hmm. You'll see Betty Boop talking to Uncle Max. Mm-hmm. And so that it reveals a lot about the times when they were produced, but also I think it's very appropriate to today's world where the media are so dominant and the most of the production values tend to be fairly low right now, with mm-hmm. notable exceptions. Mm-hmm. But it's a lesson in the quality standards of the golden age.
Also, I think it reveals different domains of production value.
Well, yeah.
Because, you know, the modern animation technology is so amazingly advanced. You can do spectacular things. But it begs the question what the content might be.
Exactly.
If it's just fabulously rendered prison walls going by, or you know, fiendish,
or just inane stuff it's a rehash.
Yeah. But the idea that there's mm-hmm. content that has something to say is something that's not playing much of a role in most mass entertainment today anyway. I mean, even the movies with live actors speaking lines, writing the lines was just a necessary nuisance to support having an actor in this situation that they wanted to depict with the explosion in the background. And there isn't much attention to actually saying anything.
Right. And in the evening, around 8 o'clock, we're hoping to have a nice setup for a theater-style viewing of some of the more obscure, rare, international animations. American animation is wonderful, but there are many other cultures that produced really world-class, stunning kinds of animation worlds. Russia, Eastern Europe, Japan, certainly, and many other countries that are noted for producing some very refreshingly not American storylines and characters. And so I have some of those to show. And there'll be something for everybody. Everything from very accessible kinds of children's stories, but rendered in animation, to some definitely edgy, non-linear kinds of abstract animations that are quite moving.
Great.
No pun intended.
Yes.
Well, if you're talking to me, pun always
intended. Pun intended. Yes.
Right. So that'll be at 8 o'clock, running to around 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that people will be able to attend the entire three events of the day as a whole theme. But if anyone can only attend one or two, you're certainly welcome to come.
Well, the late sleepers are quite welcome to come directly to the afternoon session.
Yes. Or the people who stay up all night can come to Saturday morning cartoons and have some cereal.
I mean, ideally, yes, we would run this to about 3 o'clock in the morning, because there are some states of mind that one gets into at 3 o'clock a.m. that are very much tapping into the loopy world of animation. Should we talk about a suggested donation?
Oh, well, this is the whole idea was to finish off our fun show, which is our exhibit that's been going on for 3 months, and this is the capping the event with a fundraising event.
It's a fundraising
film festival of funny films. And so we're suggesting that people maybe donate $6 to $10,000. But about $6 will get you in the door for the whole day. And we got some we're going to stamp your hands. So you can go in and out and have lunch and come back.
I've got cartoon character stamps.
That's what we were hoping to find.
And $10,000 will get you a big wet kiss from every member of the Icon board. at your discretion. You get to choose
at your indiscretion
which ones you like. Yes.
Most of us have some form of facial hair.
Yes, we have a few who don't,
right?
Including Bill.
Well, we look forward to coming and making a big donation to Icon. And Icon is, of course, is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation.
I think it's safe to say that if you did donate $10,000, for an additional $10,000, no one will give you a big wet kiss.
Right, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is anything more that we want to launch into? How much time do we have left here?
Oh, we've got 13 minutes left on the show.
So
we can dig
let's
in.
Let's just warm up to the subject now, John.
Okay. So actually, I'm very much...
Have you always been... this goes back to your earliest moments of life, your intimacy with cartoons.
Yes, I can remember occasionally. We didn't do a whole lot of cartoon watching at our house. Television was not strongly encouraged in our house. It was mostly the PBS channels, and Julia Child was one of our institutions there. But generally, we did not waste huge gobs of time watching TV. I can remember that one of the slacking of the rules happened if I would have a sore throat or be sick with a cold, then it was pretty much as much as I wanted to entertain myself with television or books. that was part of the program. So I could explore things that were not readily otherwise available. Also, if I had a sleepover with friends, they would have their favorite cartoon to watch.
Yeah, that's where I saw most of my TV growing up, was at friends' houses.
At friends' houses, yeah. Especially if they had one of those bad color TVs with the color.
The green smear.
Green smear, yeah. But as I grew up and became an adult, I began actually to be interested in watching some of the older and more obscure cartoons for their artistic value. I am by profession a graphic artist, and so graphic arts is very much part of the cartoon animation process, not only the original drawings, but also the the photographing of them and the making of apparent motion and life from just a series of still drawings. This is a miracle to me.
Yeah.
So I'm actually very much as fond, I would say, of a low production value as of a high production value, because if you have a low production value, it's simply pen and ink on paper and then a camera of some sort.
Yeah.
Don't even need a camera, a flip book, anything like that. The amount of creative energy that can go into an animation is quite astonishing.
Yeah.
And the
I loved flip books. I used to go nuts for flip books.
Yeah.
It was my only access to animation for years. And I made my own. You know, the lower right corner of every textbook that I had in school had a flipbook kind of thing going on, little dots running around.
Something that I know is not just my own thing, but it is common to aficionados of animation, the flickering effect of film, actual film, as opposed to something that is generated digitally or stop what do you call marionette type of animations.
Yeah. I never liked those. They always seemed
they're creepy.
They were cheating.
Supercar or any of those. Supercar was stop action animation. But there were some marionette type ones that were
And then there was Clutch Cargo.
Clutch Cargo, there you go.
Talk about spooky.
Yeah, sort of
that creeped me out as a child. I looked at that stuff and I said, nah. Yeah. For one thing, that's not a cartoon. Right. And for another, that's creepy.
Very creepy. For anyone who doesn't know, that was basically a cartoon panel still with a human mouth filmed and superimposed on it, which gave a very
wrongness.
Yes.
And the thing is, it was also another insult to the viewer.
Exactly.
It was an attempt to make cartoons without having to pay anybody.
Exactly.
And then it got followed by the Hanna-Barbera era,
barbaric,
which just left me completely cold. I never watched any of their cartoons. They weren't, to me, they weren't cartoons.
Yeah.
A still picture of legs, you know, in a blur isn't animation.
No. Some of the early animations went to huge trouble to produce a high production value, but increasing the efficiency. Some of the early Popeye cartoons used cells of animated characters, but the background was a turntable, essentially, of real three-dimensional objects, and it was carefully manipulated to turn and travel with the animated character in the front. And because it was deliberately out of focus, it had a peculiar and very satisfying kind of quality to it.
And so, we only just started having depth of field in computer animation just in the last few years.
Right. And so there's something, I have a 1920s pre-sound animated cartoon of a very low production value. You'll have maybe three or four or five frames that are the same, and then it'll simply jump to the next stage of the of the action. Mm-hmm. So it's very deliberately, I mean, very obviously jerky and simplistic. There's mm-hmm. no attempt at all of showing real motion. It's just like many fast frames of a cartoon, of a comic strip panel.
Yeah, yeah.
That are sequenced like that. But there's something about that low production value and the disjointed mm-hmm. kind of reality that you could, if you treat that as an actual space,
yeah.
okay, it is a disjointed, very jerky kind of a space that you get into.
Yeah,
it's fascinating. So that is to me an actual benefit, a plus for a particular kind of low production value, mm-hmm. where it really is the best that they could do at the time.
Yeah,
grainy film, especially the pre-Technicolor color that they would use for animated cartoons
mm-hmm.
Was very rich
mm-hmm.
because it was not photographic in quality.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it was actual graphic arts.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have some a unique experience of color fields in the pre-Technicolor animated color cartoons.
Yeah.
I'll just say here, for those who just tuned in, right, driving in their car, that this is Icon Art Radio, and Alan and I are interviewing John Stimson, who's putting on a cartoon film event at Icon Gallery.
On Saturday,
September 10th. We've said that
2011.
Many times. 2011.
Mm-hmm. Starting at 9 a.m. with...
all day long, starting at 9 a.m.
Right.
And you can get your hand stamped. You can come in and out. It's a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we should clarify that the morning, 9 to 11:30, is Saturday morning cartoons with milk and cereal and coffee.
Way too much coffee.
And the afternoon is a discussion of animation and cartoons and everything related to the above.
Right.
And the evening is a viewing of, in a more theatrical environment at Icon, of classic or specific, particularly fascinating cartoons that John has
focusing on international or other very obscure animators that you wouldn't see on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the Saturday morning, who are some of the classics that we're going to see?
A number one would be Betty Boop and all of the Max Fleischer characters. They're across the board, the very, very high quality character development that the Fleischer Studios produced. Popeye is a spin-off from the Betty Boop genre. And then we get into the very early Warner Brothers pre-war stuff. And then Tex Avery, who was during and after World War II. Again, amazing character development. Then the classic Merry Melodies and Looney Tunes 1950s, 40s and 50s Warner Brothers cartoons. And I even got into some of the later De Patty Freeling, Pink Panther, wonderfully imaginative cartoons. And Hanna-Barbera, there were a few that have been such icons for us. We have the Yogi Bear and El Kabong, you know, the Quick Draw McGraw,
mm-hmm.
and Snagglepuss. These are very dear to anyone who was a baby boomer spending Saturday mornings in front of the television.
Present company accepted,
yeah, sure,
of course.
Yeah, right. But even though they weren't very good.
I think of them as being more like 70s than
60s. No, they were produced in 1962, 63, 64.
Yeah.
And so they would have been very much, okay, I was born in 58, so I would have been 5, 6, 7 years old at that time.
Yeah.
So they were, I knew very well that they were nowhere near as high quality, but they were iconic.
Well, and they told stories that people related to.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but also the particular personalities. Huckleberry Hound, you know, he was basically Barney Google in cartoon form, and Yogi Bear was, of course, a meld between Jackie Gleason and Art Carney from the old Honeymooners show. And the whole host of characters. I begin to lose interest in the animated cartoons starting around 1964, 65. They went into very low production value and turned into
marketing accessories.
Exactly, yeah. Marketing accessories. And just
have we ever solved the problem of why Goofy and Pluto are not both dogs?
It is interesting, yes. Goofy has evolved into an upright speaking sort of a
Goofy form. Wears jackets and shoes
exactly.
and gloves with rolled wrists.
Goofy is come from a dog because I thought...
Goofy's a dog. Yeah, he's a talking dog. And Pluto is a barking on all fours pet type dog.
Well, evolution.
But they're in the same cartoons together.
Right. I think that is exactly the kind of disjointedness that I find so refreshing about animation. And famously, Heckle and Jekyll, the magpies, would be wondering if a certain thing were possible to accomplish. And one would say to the other, why not? We're in a cartoon. And so they would go ahead and do the impossible, which is so refreshing to a kid who might feel housebound.
Absolutely. You've got to break the boundaries. Exactly. And when I saw Albert Alligator in the striking a match on the border of the panel to light his cigar, I knew that there was more to the world than I had originally thought.
And on the same theme, you will have a great chase scene going on with the two characters running out of the film frame.
Right.
And you see the sprocket holes flying by. And they, with great agitation, turn around and come back into the film frame.
Where are we?
Right. So I'm looking forward to sharing this with people. I know that there are a lot of people who secretly want to get together on a Saturday morning and sit around in their jammies and eat that bad colored cereal with sugar frosting and watch cartoons with us. So I'm really looking forward to seeing all of you there.
Great. Well, ICON
we can't wait.
Is proud to host this. And am I correct that the current show, the fun show, it will still be...
That's actually the last day of the show.
This is so it's your last chance to see the amazing fun show at ICON.
You've been listening to ICON Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.